I'm here today to talk to you at Dawn's request about three things that are important to me: Christian service, Habitat for Humanity, and ways that you and I can find opportunities for Christian service through Habitat. Let me start by telling you about one of our Habitat volunteers, Tom. He's been working with us for 3 years. He moved with his wife to the Sturgeon Bay area shortly after retirement, hoping to enjoy Door County and be relatively near their grandchildren who live in Green Bay. Almost from the time that they first arrived in Sturgeon Bay, Tom has been a volunteer with Habitat. But he's more than just another person who shows up on the worksite to pound nails. Tom is there just about every day that we are working. He has become an accomplished Habitat lead worker and is often the first person on the site in the morning and usually one of the last to leave at the end of the day. In addition to his construction duties, Tom has taken on the task of leading our volunteers in the daily prayers that are a regular part of the Habitat worksite. He can be called on at a moment's notice to help with demolition jobs, repair work, delivery, or assisting in any other way possible. Unfortunately, Tom's wife died last year, but in spite of that tragic loss, he has continued to be a regular fixture on the worksite each week. And Tom is always quick to smile, quick to help, and quick to tell you what a blessing it is to serve others. What Tom does is not necessarily dramatic. He doesn't lift roof trusses into place all by himself, nor can he say that he's the most accomplished worker at the worksite. However, through a humble commitment to Christian service, Tom does his best at every job given to him, never seeking praise or recognition, wanting simply to contribute and help others. Tom is a Christian who is practicing percentage living. Like Tom, we're all called to serve. The liturgy this morning said, "We hear your call to discipleship. Master, teach us the way we should go." How you are called, or to what you are called, is something that you must work out with God. However, anyone who is even superficially aware of the Old Testament and Jesus' New Testament teachings certainly understands the injunction to serve our less fortunate neighbors. Time won't allow me to tell you of all of the opportunities available in Habitat, nor will it allow me to tell you about the details of Habitat. But you may be convinced, as I am, that our faith calls us to do more than simply attend church on Sundays. As many of you are aware, there are opportunities out there, but you may be unaware or unable to open your eyes to the countless opportunities that God spreads before you to express your faith outside of the church walls. Next door, down the street, or in the broader community, there are people that need you, and God, if you are attentive, is calling you to service, calling you to serve them. You can volunteer at Feed and Clothe My People. You can support United Way. You can help your disabled or elderly neighbor, or volunteer at Scandia Village. You can teach Sunday school, serve on your congregational committees, the Board of Trustees or the Board of Elders. There are really so very, very many things that we can do. Some of you can add to this list, and I know that many of you are already involved in both structured and informal ministries. If you're serving the Lord and being faithful to his calling, I say, bless you for your service. And God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. But just in case you are unaware of ways to use your talents, let me describe for you a ministry that enables you to put Christ's teachings into practice. That ministry is Habitat for Humanity. Door County Habitat for Humanity offers a hand up, not a handout, to low-income members of our community who cannot obtain conventional financing to build or buy a home. We're not a giveaway, we're not a charity, and if you need to know more about that, please see me after the service. We are a construction company. We build new 1 to 3 new homes a year. We're a social service agency helping low-income people. We're a bank with 27 mortgages. We're a development company that buys and accepts donations of land and then builds homes on them. We're a retail outlet that sells new and used furniture, appliances, and building materials. We're an ecumenical Christian ministry that allows me and others to live out our faith. As such, we offer a wide variety of opportunities to practice percentage living. Habitat for Humanity would not be able to build new homes, operate a recycling program, or assist existing homeowners with minor repairs and painting projects without a small army of volunteers made up of people just like you. Can you hammer a nail, drive a delivery truck, work in a retail setting, bake cookies, file papers, cut grass, manage databases, or oversee a Facebook page? In reality, because of the breadth and variety of our ministry, if you have any skills whatsoever and would like to put them to use in the service of your community, we probably can use you. Even more importantly, if you have a desire to serve both your risen Lord and your fellow human beings, God has work for you. As Jesus says in Matthew 9, "For pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Perhaps you are one of those laborers. Perhaps Door County Habitat for Humanity can provide for you an opportunity to practice percentage living. God is calling. He's calling you. How will you answer? How will you serve?
Thank you, Rick. After the church service today, during our time of fellowship, Rick will be here if you have any questions or would like to. But I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, we were talking about giving a percentage of our time during the day for devotional prayer. And we realized that devotional prayer was God's gift to us, and it was to help us have a conduit to listen to the voice of God. This week, I'm asking the question, what's in it for me? Because last week we knew that this devotional prayer was not a chore, but something that was going to give me something back. Not so much when we get to this week, giving a percentage of my time in service for others. I remember hearing a lot of sermons about this when I was a child, that if you gave to others, if you served others, when you worked for the Lord, you felt good inside. Well, sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't. And then what happens? And I remember asking a pastor that. I said, you know, sometimes it's really aggravating to work for God. And people don't always appreciate what you do. And what about then? And he kind of hemmed and hawed, well, you got to do it anyway because your reward's in heaven. And I looked at the scripture today, and I wanted to focus on the grunt workers in the Bible. And there were a few. They were the women who followed the men around from town to town. There was a lady named Joanna. There was Mary Magdalene. Now, they had had an encounter with Jesus, and it was wonderful. And after that encounter, it says that they shared from their resources so that Jesus and his disciples could do the work that they were called to do. They were the grunts. They were the ones preparing the meals. They were the ones that were earning the living. I kind of felt sorry for Joanna's husband. He was a steward in Herod's house, and I'm sure every time he came home, there was another bill outstanding from Jesus' ministry. And I guess he had, Joanna, what's this about? Oh, well, you know, they went to this town and they ran out of money, and well, we just helped out with that. These were women who did not do the glamorous work. They would not have been allowed to. First of all, in that system, women were not to be out with the men doing things like this. That would have been scandalous. So these men got to see Jesus' miracles, they got to teach, they got to preach, they were in the in crowd, and the women were the ones that enabled all that work to be done, the grunt work. Have you ever been in a position where you were the grunt? And that's what, maybe I should have labeled the service holy grunt work, because that's what service in Christ's field is all about. It's not just the glamorous jobs, it's the grunt work, and somebody's got to do it. And so these women spent their time taking care of the physical needs of these men so they could do the work. And then we have the story of their last mission. The women were going to the tomb. Now, all these women had stuck with Jesus even when he was being executed. They stuck around and watched, if only to give him support. And then on Sunday, they came to the tomb with spices because they were going to take care of his dead body. That's not a glamorous thing, but it was an act of love. And they wanted to do one last thing for Jesus because they loved him so much. So they came with all their instruments, their spices, to take care of his body. And instead, they found a wonderful sight. Jesus was gone. Angels were declaring that he was no longer in the grave, that he was risen. They were the first ones to witness life. What a reward they received for their grunt work. They became the messengers of life. And that's the one thing that Jesus gives to us. Every time we're engaged in service, every time we're doing something for God, whether it's sweeping off a street corner or preaching at the street corner, we are given the task and the opportunity and the joy of bringing life and participating in the gospel. I love being a holy grunter. When I first came to my last church in 1991, there were a few children in the congregation. Most of them were little, about 3 or 4 years old, maybe four children, and then there were teenagers, nobody in between. The church had tried to do a vacation Bible school, but all the children of the parents in this church lived outside of the neighborhood. And so that vacation Bible school had about 5 or 6 kids. They were the children of the workers who came and took care of that. And it was a lovely week, but they said, you know, if it's just for our kids, it seems silly to put out all that effort. So after I came, we realized that the traditional vacation Bible school would not work in the neighborhood that we were part of. So we had a nighttime one, and we said, let's throw open the doors to whatever child would want to come. We made it free, we made it exciting. I had 30 people come out to do this work, and the first time, I think we had 40 kids, and we grew over time till we were averaging about 60 kids every summer. Now, I have to tell you something. None of those children or their parents ever decided to come to our church. In fact, I would send out a letter after the week and say, we so enjoyed having your child. If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to come to us. Now, we knew that there were some people who were unchurched, and yet not one. So every year, we spent thousands of dollars to bring people in. We had this crew that worked so hard. Now, you have to realize they all worked during the day, have to come from work and stay till 9:30 at night in order to put on this vacation Bible school. Sometimes it got a little dicey, like the time a lady came in with her 3-year-old who was fast asleep, plopped him down with us, left, and then the kid woke up about an hour later in the presence of strangers. I had another time where we had 3 little ones under the age of 5, and mom did not pick them up at 9:30 at night. And I had to try to figure out how to get to their home. We kept calling. I was with those children till 10:30 at night. There was nothing in it for our church. 12 years after that first vacation Bible school, I was in a store and a lady came to me and said, "Are you the pastor of Trinity up on the hill?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "I went to your very first vacation Bible school." Well, I remembered that one because when she walked in, we were playing with kazoos. And because it was beastly hot and no air conditioning, we figured it would be fun to have a Christmas theme. So I think we were singing Jingle Bells through the kazoos. This child told me, now she's a young woman, she said, "My family never went to church. I was not raised in a church. But when they found out that there was a vacation Bible school at night and could get rid of me for a whole week, 5 evenings, they signed me up." She said, "I never went into a church that was so much fun. And I did not realize that Christians could be fun too." She said, "When I left your vacation Bible school, we still didn't go to church. But when I got to college, I remembered your church. I remembered the fun I had. And I realized maybe I'm missing something in my life. And so I began to go to church. And I want to let you know that I'm in this church to this day, and I love it so much, and I am so grateful for your church for having that vacation Bible school." I think sometimes the Lord allows us to hear those stories so we keep going on with our grunt work. We might not have something for ourselves. Maybe the person that we're going to help or the group that we're going to help will never darken the doors of our church, will never give to our church, but that does not matter because what we are doing is participating in the kingdom of God. And perhaps the person or the people that we help are going to further the kingdom some way else. I think of that young woman. She's probably married by now and raising another generation to know Jesus. Grunt work is not easy, but we're participating in life. And there are so many ways to participate in that life. We're going to be having an opportunity. We have Habitat here. We also have an opportunity in Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee is, 3 to 4 hours from here. There's an inner city church that I've come to know. And this church has been struggling for years. And the few lay people that were left had to make a decision. And they met together to decide whether to close down their church. And then they looked at the problems in their neighborhood. They are not in a fancy area of Milwaukee. And in that neighborhood, there's pockets of poverty. There's children who are going to the schools that do not know how to read, even though they're going to school every day. They don't have a fancy school like we have. There's children that are exposed to drug use. And they looked around and they said, "We can't abandon this place." And so this small group started a food pantry. This small group once a month has an open mic night where they bring the neighborhood in. This small group has gone into the schools and are tutoring, doing whatever they can in the name of Christ. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if people from here who have so much could go there and help them at least clean up their building and give them the things that they need to keep going. So in October, Matt Knapp and I are going to have a joint service with them because we want to give them some hope, and we hope that some of you can go. There'll be more information about that. And probably in the winter, we're going to bring a work crew down there. Now, maybe somebody from Milwaukee will come up here and settle here. I doubt it. Our service could bring a child off the streets. Our service could help a child be able to read and make its way in this world. Our service can feed the hungry. And we can be participating in life. Every time we do grunt work for Jesus, we are participating in his resurrection. Let's not look at the problems of this world and say, they are too much. I can't handle them. When we sent youth group to a mission trip in Mississippi, they were having a problem. They said, this year we're going to need a cook to go down with us. And I volunteered, and my husband and son immediately said, no! I was insulted. But they knew what I was like in the kitchen. A 75-year-old woman said, I can no longer nail anything. I can no longer put up drywall or paint or do any of those things, but I can cook. And she went down with those young people and spent the week cooking for them. Grunt work has no age limit. Grunt work brings the kingdom of God. Let's participate in the resurrection in our service to the Lord and others. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for all the grunt work, the people who built this church, the people who provide the logs and the horses and rolled it up this hill, the people who clean the church, the people who provide meals, the people who have provided groceries, those who have gone on mission trips, those who have helped. We are all a product of their work. Thank you, Lord, for them. And we ask that you inspire us, the next generation, to give a percentage of our time in the service of others. We thank you for your service to us. We thank you for those women who brought the message of the resurrection. Help us to stand in their shoes today. In Jesus' name, amen.